Greetings to everyone in the name of Jesus. This morning it's a privilege to be here. God is good, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is also our Shepherd. As we sang, thank you, Gary, for that song, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. That was touching to me. And the verse at the top of that song, if you notice, said, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. And why do they follow him? It says, for they know his voice. I also appreciated the devotions, and Laverne and I did not confer together. But you may think we did a little by the time the message is done. Just briefly at the beginning here, I want to to pass on some things from last weekend. Brother Curvin said hello to the congregation, and Brother Philip wanted me to thank the church for allowing me to come and help. So it was good to be there, and I was blessed. Always when I go to a place to serve, I come away with much more than what I took. And also, matter of prayer is Grangeville's ordination this morning. Understand that David Kurtz is the only one nominated there. And some of you remember Sam and John that were here for Bible school some years ago, that would be their father. So as far as I know, that is going through this morning. So we want to look at the title this morning is Safe with My Father. Safe with My Father. I'm going to put some illustrations here, and we're going to see if we can understand what we're talking about. So children, sometimes you have swung from your father's arm, and that's good for a time, right? But you get tired, and it feels much better to be safe on his knee after a while. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust. Lean not unto your own grasping. So I want to think about these pictures here this morning a little. Which of these pictures are most like your relationship with God? I want you to think about that. Which of these pictures are most like your relationship with God? Make sure I know which side I have which on. So we see, we remember Jesus, and he said, unless you be converted and become like little children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And little children like to be with their dads, and they like to sit on their father's knee. But as they get a little older, they may feel a little less like being with their dad. And maybe sometimes that's the dad's problem. And sometimes the child has something to do with that too. But why would my relationship with my father be a bit more like the man hanging from his father's arm? It could be because my father was aloof. Could be that he was somewhat cold and distant. It could be that my own father had, if you find yourself relating to this, that your own father had some of his own emotional baggage that was not dealt with, was not resolved. But that can be stopped, that can be corrected. But a lot of that has to do with my own view of God and what I pass on to my children. So too often I've found myself like the man over here, hanging desperately to God. And maybe your experience is somewhere in the middle. Maybe it's not either one extreme or the other. This isn't an extreme, by the way, but maybe it's not as extreme as this. Arms aching, hanging on for dear life, or am I contentedly sitting on my Father God's knee, secure with his arm around me? You see, when I'm desperately hanging on for dear life, where is my focus? Folks, where is this person's focus? It is down under. It is under at all the scary things underneath, at the waves and the lions and the mountains and whatever are under him, instead of secure with his Father. And I do want to tell you that I believe both of these are Christians this morning, but one is a very weak Christian that believes that he has to somehow do it on his own strength and has not learned to run to his Father. And he may not, after a bit, may not be a Christian. He may drift off and fall away. I'd like you to turn with me to song number 399 in Hymns of the Church. And this song is not hugely familiar, but I believe we have sang it here. And I think we are going to sing it after just a minute here. I want to look over it, see if we can learn the message a little bit first. And we wonder what the author was going through, but he says, verse 1, "Twixt gleams of joy and clouds of doubt, our feelings come and go, our best estate is tossed about in ceaseless ebb and flow. No mood of feeling, form of thought, is constant for a day, but thou, O Lord, thou changest not, the same thou art alway. I grasp thy strength, make it my own, my heart with peace is blessed. But then there's a change, I lose my hold, and then comes down darkness and cold unrest. Let me no more my comfort draw from my frail hold of thee. In this alone rejoice with awe, thy mighty grasp of me." Out of that weak, unquiet drift that comes but to depart, to that pure heaven my spirit lift, where thou unchanging art, lay hold of me with thy strong grasp. Let thy almighty arm in its embrace my weakness clasp, and I shall fear no harm. Thy purpose of eternal good let me but surely know. On this I'll lean, not let changing mood and feeling come or go. Glad when thy sunshine fills my soul, not lorn or forlorn when clouds o'ercast, since thou within thy sure control of love dost hold me fast. I think on second thought we will let that till the end of the service, and I'll just get up after the prayer probably and lead that song. So, Brother Gary wasn't real familiar with it. So moving on, this is not necessarily a message on the conscience or how to understand our conscience or sensitivity. We heard an excellent message on that a few months ago, Taming the Tiger. This is more on my view of God and finding rest and assurance, safe with my Father, is the title. You know, our emotions are a gift. They're a gift from our wise God, and they're a tool, but they dare not be the primary driver in my life. My emotions dare not be the primary driver. And I want to, there was something outstanding here for me to consider. And it goes, the story goes like this. A pastor I know told me about a lady who came to see him about joining the church. This lady said her doctor had sent her. Recently, she had a facelift. And what a facelift is, children, it's when your wrinkles and everything are fixed up and your saggy face looks young and healthy. Recently, she had a facelift, and when her doctor dismissed her, he gave her this advice. He said, "My dear, I have done an extraordinary job on your face, as you can see in the mirror. I have charged you a great deal of money, and you were happy to pay it. But I want to give you some free advice. I want you to find a group of people who love God and who will love you enough to help you deal with all the negative emotion inside of you. If you don't, you'll be back in my office in a very short time with your face in far worse shape than before." Emotion. Feelings of despondency will come and they will go. And that's natural. But do I allow them in my life as a way of life is the question. And a lot of this depends on my view of God and my view of receiving help from other people, as we read about the pastor's advice there. So I'd like to look at this subject, safe with my Father, in five ways, 5 points, mostly scripture. The first one is that we must believe that it is God's will that we be of good comfort in this battle we are fighting. We must believe that, first of all, that this is God's will. Yes, we are in a fight, we're in a battle, but we are not called to be sour soldiers, are we? Fighting battles are not comfortable and they're not easy. But when I'm sitting on my Father's knee, I can be of good comfort right in the middle of the fight, right in the middle of the struggle. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." Psalm 46, 1, we heard this morning, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Does this picture here look like a very present help in trouble? Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. Let's turn now to Isaiah 61. We're looking at God's will. Remember, God's will that we be of good comfort in the fight. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." Remember, Jesus referenced this. He used these words in the New Testament. "He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now, if you're in Isaiah, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19. So if I'm a child of God, I can rest in His comfort. If I'm doing all that, my sins are taken care of and I'm following God. Isaiah 30:19, it says, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee." When he shall hear it, he will respond. He will answer thee. In John 14, Jesus is speaking in verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. "Now," it says, "now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." God's will that I be of good comfort in the fight. I want to look at one more scripture on this point. Hebrews, if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verse 10. And verse 10 says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou, God, art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Where is my security? Point number two is simply this: don't try so hard to figure out your feelings of depression. Or we could say despondency if you don't like the word depression. Don't try so hard to figure out those feelings. Just go. Run to your Father. Run to my Father. In Matthew 11, Jesus invites us. Very well-known passage. Jesus invites us, "Come unto me." Come. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Don't try so hard. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3 says this: "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. "His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." We know how refreshing rain is. And Hosea here, it says, "Then shall we know if we persist. Then shall we know if we run, if we follow on to know the Lord." And he's going to come like the early rains and the latter rains. In Palestine, they had early rains. I suppose it was around planting time, and then they had some later on to bring the grain to the harvest. And that's how God will bless us if we come. Psalm 27, verse 5 says this. 27:5, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Don't try so hard. Just go. I invite you to Isaiah chapter 41 now. Third scripture we're reading in Isaiah, Isaiah 41. I'm going to read verses 10 and verse 14 and verse 17. So 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. But we really need to be on the right side of the arm. Not under the arm, but with the arm around us. Verse 14. "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Verse 17. "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them." And so we just sense God's heart that we would come when we're poor, come when we're needy, seek, and I will answer. Seek, and I will bless. Point number three. Point number three, I want to consider this thought. When we are not going to our Father for our security, when we are not going to our Father for our moorings, we are ill-prepared to comfort and assure others. And we're going to look at some scriptures on this. I have two scripture passages. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you'd go with me to 2 Corinthians 1, see what this says. 1 verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us," follow this train here, "who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And so when we are not secure in God, when we are not moored and assured, then we are ill-prepared to assure others and to comfort others. Now in Acts, we're going to read a more of a story, Acts 27. There's six verses there. Acts 27, verse 20. And we're breaking in here when Paul was on the ship and in the storm, and he had warned them not to do this, but they did it anyway. And Acts 27, verse 20 says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence," meaning after a long time without food, "Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, You should have hearkened unto me and have not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. So we see Paul was prepared, wasn't he? He had been in communion with God and was keeping his relationship current, and he was going to his father, and he was able to comfort everyone on the ship. Whose I am, the God whose I am, and whom I serve. This takes us to point number 4. We want to consider this thought. Fear of God and comfort must walk arm in arm. Fear of God and comfort must walk arm in arm. We're going to go to scriptures for a basis on this point. If you would go to Psalm 103. We have 7 verses there, or 8. Psalm 103. Fear of God and comfort must walk arm in arm. 103 verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children. Think comfort. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Notice, comfort, fear, arm in arm. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So notice as we read, we noticed as we read that mercy and fear, comfort and fear went arm in arm. So we can think of it this way, just as children in the home, how should we say this? Just as children who lack a proper fear or a lack of proper respect of their parents are restless and they're emotionally insecure, so are we, if we are missing a right fear of God, also emotionally insecure. We're emotionally tossed about because our eyes are not on God. And we can't go to God for comfort. Does that make sense? We're not tuned to God. We're not respecting. We're not fearing. As in life, parents who don't have their child's attention cannot be their comfort either. So it is with God. And we see that all around us in the world, people want Jesus. They want God to be their 911 emergency responder, right? They want the comfort, but if there's no fear, how can God be the comfort? And God is just standing there with his arms open, and he's wishing to have this relationship with them. But when they come running for comfort without fear, that just does not work. Now, if they truly turn to God in their emergency, that's one thing. But if they use God as a get-out-of-jail-free card and ignore him the rest of the time, God does not honor that. I'd like to look at 3 verses in John chapter 10. John 10, verse 27. John 10, verse 27. He says this, Jesus speaking, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, we're correlating the comfort and fear again. My sheep hear, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. There's the comfort. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them or snatch them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, many that would teach unconditional eternal security would use this passage and say that, well, it's clear that if I'm in God's arms, how can I lose my salvation? Well, what if I do what this man is doing over here? And I climb off my Father's lap and out of his arms, swing off my arm and drop away. Swing off his arm and drop away. That's how I can lose my salvation. I lose my fear. I lose my respect. I look at the world and I follow the world. And away I go. So we do believe in eternal security, but we do believe that it is conditional on me choosing this. Me choosing to go to my Father. Me choosing to link fear with comfort. Fear keeps our eyes on God our Father. That is why it is so important and linked, because fear keeps our eyes on God our Father, or we could say reverence, fear, and we are in a state to be comforted then when our eyes are on God. We are in a state to be comforted, to receive God's comfort. So lastly, point number 5, in life's emotional ebbs and its flows, we need to recognize and value others' input in your life, in my life. Recognize and value others' input. Walls are not the answer when we are like this scared child over here. Walls are not the answer. When we are troubled, we feel crowded, we feel afflicted, don't close yourself off to help. I want to look at two scriptures to reinforce this. 2 Corinthians 7. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4. This is Paul teaching, giving us these words. 2 Corinthians 7, 4. He says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. So we notice this, don't close yourself to others. Verse 7, and not by his coming only, not by Titus coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. You see, there was a chain reaction. First, these Corinthians had comforted Titus, and then Titus comforted Paul, wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. You see, Paul was, I think, he didn't know where he stood with the Corinthians, right? After he had written the first letter to them, and he was pretty sharp in calling out this blatant sin, and he was just really consoled and comforted by Titus's report. Let's go to Colossians 4. Colossians 4, verse 7. Don't wall yourself off. Verse 7. Says, All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What a blessing. You know, a proper view of our Father, a proper view of God, and a proper view of God's children will keep us anchored, will keep us moored in life's emotional turbulence, its ebbs and flows as our feelings come and go. Remember, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear.